You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. We packed you a lunch that packs a punch. This is Hockey Central at Noon on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome inside the bubble. This is Hockey Central at Noon. Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard. Around the table, Todd Hlischko making, I believe, his debut.
Second one.
Okay, not the maiden voyage then, so we'll spare you the initiation. Welcome back to the program. And John Shannon. Everything is done for the first time. You're always a new person every single day because you're very philosophical, John. That's what we love about you.
Wow.
We're going to get to Anaheim, Nashville, Game 7 on the horizon there. But a Game 7 last night, the St. Louis Blues finally slay the Dragon. And front and center with 31 saves, our first guest here on the program this afternoon is Brian Elliott, St. Louis Blues netminder. Brian, first of all, congratulations. What did it feel like when that final buzzer went yesterday in St. Louis?
it was quite emotional. Playing a team like that for 7 games, it's... You can't really describe it to anybody. You kind of have to go through it. And, it's something that you get to know, every player on that team really well. And, when you finally get up in the third period, and they're just trying to, block them off for the last 10 minutes, it's pretty emotional when it comes down to, 3-2-1 and the crowd goes crazy. It's a great feeling.
This will be my traditional post-series question, Brian. How much sleep last night?
You know what? I didn't have a good sleep last night. I was, I think it was just kind of, you're still kind of on a high a little bit of, all those emotions running through you and how much effort and heart and soul that, myself and all the guys put in. And, I kind of just laid here and kind of thought about it for a while, but, luckily, we've got a couple days to rest up here and get ready for Dallas.
Brian, it's 2-2 going into the third period. Was anything said by Ken Hitchcock during the intermission, or was it a case of just him leaving the dressing room alone and letting the leadership group take care of that?
When Hitch comes in, it's usually not anything that I can learn from, so I'm kind of tuning them out a little bit, but. It's our group in there. I think we knew it all year long that, our third periods were our best. And, we came back in a lot of games. We tied up a lot of games during the season. And, with a lot of injuries and guys stepping up into different roles, I think that helped us last night. And it was a good feeling in there. I thought we had a winning feeling when we went out that door for the third period. And we came in winners, and that's what we wanted to do.
Brian Elliott joins the St. Louis Blues netminder. The St. Louis Blues will now face off against the Dallas Stars after beating Chicago. Yes, there will be a new Stanley Cup champion. Knock them off in 7 games, 3-2 the final yesterday. Troy Brouwer with the game-winning goal. 1-for-3, if you're counting it in baseball, still gets on base. When you saw him take 2 swings at the puck, did you think, oh, he's going to whiff on this one?
Yeah, it was such a good play. I think, Fabs in the neutral zone, just kind of getting his body in front of, I can't remember who it was. And, that kind of created a turnover, and Stasny on the wall kind of having the patience to look for him on the back door. And obviously, again, Fabry having the patience to look for Brow in the middle of the net. And, I didn't really see it go in. I saw him kind of swipe at it with his skate, and I was just hoping he didn't kick it in. And, obviously I saw his reaction, and it kind of made me jump up a little bit, but there was a lot of work to be done after that.
The other iconic play of the third period, Brian, was the double post behind you.
Hang on, John. In a goalie's mind, that means a shot on wide.
Well, it's not exactly a shot on goal. We know that. We know, but Mike, it appeared in slow motion to most of us. What did it appear like to you?
I kind of just saw the puck up at the point, and there's a lot of bodies in front. I knew he was kind of shooting for that side. I just didn't see the release, and kind of picked it up at the last second. I think it got tipped on the way there. And, they say those are your best friends, but, we've had a lot of kind of bad breaks and a couple bad bounces here and there. And that one was definitely on our side. And, Petro coming in and saving the day, sweeping it away was huge.
Brian, you guys are, a very emotional game. Game seven, obviously, you guys come out. Great victory by you guys. Awesome series. How do you get refocused now and get rechanneled and refocused and get prepared for the Dallas Stars right now? I know you got to take it in. You got to enjoy the moment. But now you've got to get ready for Dallas. What obstacles are they going to present to you that maybe Chicago didn't?
Well, first off, you definitely have to enjoy it. That's kind of what you play for. If you don't really take time to do that, I think you're cheating yourself a bit. But, moving on, we've got some of the most prepared coaches in the league, and I don't have, any problems with how they're going to let us know the game plan and prepare us for a series against Dallas. And obviously, they're a huge threat offensively. They've got a lot of guys that can skate and score. And, I think we know them well. We've played them a lot the last few years here. And, it'll be fun. It's just another challenge. And, I think we're all looking forward to it.
BluesNet Minder Brian Elliott joining us on Hockey Central at noon. We talked a lot about you on the program here yesterday, Brian, and making the point that, coming out of Wisconsin, to the Ottawa Senators organization, it seems as if every single step of your career, there have been hurdles placed in front of you. We all know what happened in Ottawa, into St. Louis. You win the Jennings Trophy. Now you eliminate
the
defending.
Don't forget his time in Colorado, too.
Don't forget the time in Colorado as well. But, every single step, and, I know the game always gives you an excuse to quit. Like, the game will give you plenty of reasons to say, I've had enough. What has always kept you going, Brian?
Well, first of all, I probably want to forget my time in Colorado a little bit. It's nothing's really kind of ever come easy. I just kind of credit, the way I was raised and, all my coaches along the way, just, the never give up attitude and, don't let anybody say that you can't do anything. And, just the support system, I think, growing up and all throughout hockey, I think just definitely gets you through those hard times. But you have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe and trust in your work and your preparation that, whatever comes your way, you can handle it. And, obviously as a goalie, you have to give credit to your teammates along the way because, you're not getting anywhere without them. And, I've played on some good teams, and this year is no different than that.
How I was looking at some video of you in Ottawa. I tried not to look at the video of you in Colorado, but how much has your style changed in your NHL career?
I think it evolves every year. The changes, I think everybody's made some changes, even from when I was there. Just the way you play on your posts, just little technical things that, could save maybe 10 goals a year, just by playing a little bit differently. And I think the public right now is giving a lot of credit to, goaltending equipment, but, I definitely think, goalies are students of the game, and, we practice all summer. We practice every day, goalie practice. And, we study the game, so much that, everything changes subtly, and sometimes it's harder for shooters to keep up with that. And that's my little take on goalie equipment right now. I know that wasn't the question.
I don't.
It's okay. You're allowed to editorialize. You won Game 7.
I actually agree. I agree 100% with Brian.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Todd.
Brian, good teams obviously have to have good leaders. I mean, David Backes has been with the Blues since 2006. Made it to the second round only once during his tenure. How great was it to see him sit in the locker room after the game with his jersey on, his skates on for about half an hour, just lapping it up, finally saying, man, this feels so good. You have to feel so good for a guy like David Backes.
Yeah, it's he was the last one in there. I kind of was taking off all my stuff, and he was still sitting there in the skates. And, it's there's a lot of pressure on a guy like that. And, when we've had good teams and we haven't been able to get it done in the first round in those last few years, it takes a toll on a guy that, prides himself on being a go-to guy and kind of the leader of our team. And, it's just good to see. And, I think all throughout our locker room, guys were like that. They put in so much effort and so much raw emotion to this series that meant a lot, and guys soaked it in a little bit last night.
Do you think that there's a challenge for your team not to take for granted what you did against Chicago? I mean, this was an emotional high. This was in many ways, to a lot of the guys in that room, a championship. But you know what? You've got three more rounds to go to win the Stanley Cup. How do you maintain that level of emotion and physical commitment?
Yeah, that's the message right now. It was such a good series that I think a lot of people could have said they'd be happy with that as the Stanley Cup final. And now it's you do have to get that emotion back. And luckily, we have a couple of days here to rest and recuperate. And you know, when that puck drops, I don't think there's any question that guys are going to be ready and that emotion's going to be there. It's just how you channel it and how you prepare, and how you move on from that. It's I don't think there's a question of getting back up for these games.
The San Jose Sharks take out the Los Angeles Kings. The St. Louis Blues knock off the Chicago Blackhawks. This is indeed, once again, Brian, as you well know, a brand new NHL. Congratulations, once again. Looks great on you and the entire Blues organization.
By the way, Brian, just one quick thing. We know you talked about your family. Your dad's in the television industry. We know you have to be resilient when you're in the television industry.
So. Exactly. Learn from the best.
Absolutely.
And that means that TV's getting another analyst when Brian finally hangs up the blocker and catcher.
Listen, stay 10 more years. I want to retire in about 8.
Best of luck against Dallas. Thanks so much for doing this, Brian. Congrats.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me.
There is Brian Elliott, the St. Louis Blues netminder. With 31 saves yesterday, as now the Chicago Blackhawks ask some questions after cleaning out the lockers. And you wonder once again, and front and center is the bonus package for Artemi Panarin and who that's going to cost them. What do the Blackhawks now look like next season after going out in the first round? We haven't seen that since 2012 when Phoenix knocked them out in the first round, John.
You know, I we've discussed that a few times on this show the last week. And driving home yesterday, I got thinking, Stan Bowman's got to find any which way to keep Andrew Shaw.
4 goals in the series. I know he was suspended, but he was excellent. Yeah.
Well, and then so you have to go down the line with age and with opportunity. And now, and I'm going to throw a name out that I think people are going to tell me I'm crazy. And do they find a way to keep Shaw and move Teräväinen? When you think about everything that goes on, and now that Panarin's here, that type of player, I just wonder where. They have such a bevy of great young players. You're going to have to make a decision. My question is why is it Andrew Shaw?
Yeah, I John, I'm with you.
Because the money evens out.
Sure.
Yeah, but that's the
easy way. But, no, that's, but that's it. That's the easy way that you and I look at it and say, well, there you go. Yeah. Andrew Shaw's gone.
If you're not if it's straight money, there's things to do. But when you're talking about a character guy like Andrew Shaw, I've played with guys. Like an Andrew Shaw on your team. And when you see a heart and soul guy leave your club to go somewhere else and do the same thing, it crushes you. So to keep this guy, I agree with John. I think that they've got to find a way to keep Andrew Shaw in that lineup. He's a very important piece.
From one Owen Sound hockey player to another Owen Sound hockey player, Todd Hilischko on Andrew Shaw. But, you know, it's a great point, too, because, you know, we saw some players finally hit the back of the net for Chicago. But the one consistent player through all of it was Andrew Shaw.
Yes, he was.
And I mean, and he may be, you pay for the regular season, but you earn it in the playoffs. And I think Andrew Shaw earns it every playoff. Every time we've seen him play in the playoffs, even back to his junior days, that's when Andrew Shaw makes a difference.
That was a hell of an Owen Sound team.
The late Mark Greids behind the bench. To me, Stan Bowman, Al McIsaac, all that front office sitting there saying, okay, how do we keep this guy as a Blackhawk? That might be their biggest challenge all summer, and it's not anything that they haven't already talked about or they don't already know. The question becomes is what other parts can move or will move or should move in order to keep Andrew Shaw a Blackhawk.
Once again, Chicago will be fascinating. So will Detroit. We'll get on the Ken Holland page here in a couple of seconds as well. But the St. Louis Blues, and I sort of glibly mentioned what happened with Trey Bowrer yesterday with three whacks at it before finally putting it in. Trey Brouwer will be a spotlight player because of the ice time that he gets above and beyond what Vladimir Tarasenko gets. And Char was in Brouwer was in around 18 and Tarasenko in around 14 yesterday. But Brouwer is the guy that on record, when you go back to the game sheet, got the GWG, the goal-winning goal.
Well, I would suspect, and I haven't talked to Hitch in the last 24 hours, but I would suspect that Tarasenko's game is probably more fitted to playing the Dallas Stars than it is the Chicago Blackhounds.
More wide open.
Yeah.
And
that's not going to be as physical a series.
You know, this could be fun because, we've seen with Dallas, just, you know, trade chances. Yeah. Trade chances, boys.
Yeah, and that will be what, you know, and there are so many great side stories to this, sidebars for Dallas and St. Louis. You know, it's Hitchcock versus Ruff. You know, that's the 1999 Stanley Cup final when Ken was the coach of the Dallas Stars. Doug Armstrong returning to the team. The other one is, you talk about Brouwer, is that there's a trade that helped both teams. I mean, TJ Oshie has been a factor for the Washington Capitals, and Troy Brouwer has been a factor for the St. Louis Blues. That both Brian McClellan and Doug Armstrong deserve some credit for making that move.
Jeff, no, back to your point about Tarasenko, though, and both of you guys.
Yep.
Winning takes care of a lot of things, right? So you saw the looks back and forth, and Tarasenko is going to be mad as your player. You want to play as much as you possibly can, and a guy of that skill set is going to be upset that he's not on the ice. But the fact that they won that game, had they not won that game, this would have been the biggest story today. There would have been people saying, what's going on with Hitchcock? What's going on with Tarasenko? When you win a game like that, everything is eliminated. It solves a lot of things, and you just move forward.
To John's point, though, and I agree with that, against Chicago, where it's tight-checking, and maybe you want to defer more to a Troy Brouwer than you want to do to Vladimir Tarasenko, I'm not in that camp personally, but I can understand that logic.
Sure.
How Ken Hitchcock coaches, too. I mean,
but there's only so long you can minimize the minutes for a 40 goal scorer.
Yeah, last I checked, his name is on the cup and yours isn't. And I'm not being he knows he had Ken Hitchcock plays the game a certain way, and he's become very rich playing the game a certain way. I don't think he's going to alter, and that's not a knock. That's just a reality of how Hitchcock plays.
You think
plays.
It's wise to play Vlad Tarasenko for 14 minutes a game because Ken Hitchcock thinks it is?
If you win, the answer
is
yes.
That's the bottom line. Is they
if
won
you
game
win,
seven?
The answer is yes. You know,
if I they mean, lose, with a ton of questions going out there, right? But they won. So you can't question them.
Would I do it? No.
No.
But I'm not the coach, and it doesn't matter if I win. You know. But I love the way Troy Brouwer played. I love the way a lot of their grinders played. I mean, this series changed a little bit when Steve Ott returned to the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it the way that I like to see the flow of the game sometimes? No. Hard hitting. Man, it's collision sport.
You're right.
Now.
Don't be surprised if Tarasenko goes on and leads St. Louis in scoring in the second round. He'll be back. And it's just blips right now. He's pissed off a little bit now, but as soon as that puck drops game one, I think everything's going to be forgotten. And this guy's going to be a definite game changer.
He looked pretty happy after the game.
Oh,
it wasn't handshake alley for him. It was hug alley specifically with Artemi Panarin. I mean, that was one of the, and I'm not a big handshakes guy. I'm not a big fan of the handshake alley to begin with, but I understand why people like it.
You're the most traditional hockey guy at this table and you don't like handshakes. You're the most traditional guy here.
No, that's you, John. Come on. I'm in the Kelly Rudy, Stan Mikita, Billy Smith camp. No thanks. Not for me.
I didn't mind it because it depends. You can get a real hate on for people. And I've been to that where you played a team and you shake afterwards. And there's certain guys you don't want to shake their hands in the lineup. You just don't. Mm-hmm. But there are a bunch of other guys that you appreciate the way they played. And you know, you want to, you know, congratulate them and move on. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%. There will be two or three guys in that lineup they'd rather punch than shake their hands, of course.
Stan Mikita said after 61, you know, Gordie Howe came into the room and toasted us all with a glass of champagne, and that meant more to me than some phony handshake at center ice. What? I'm with Mikita on this one. But then again, as John points out, I'm not on the cup. I never played the game. I just watch it. All right. The other game last night was game six. Nashville forces a game seven. Front and center, Pekka Rinne, who was outstanding, and front and center was James Neal.
Boy, was he good last night. And there was one team that was skating all night long. I know not many people watched the game last night. Maybe people in Nashville and people in Orange County. But, man, were the Predators. They outskated Anaheim all night long, right from the opening puck, and it didn't matter who it was, and that's what really impressed me about James Neal last night. He was so good.
You know what play I loved by Neal too? So Roman Josi's got the puck behind the net, and he's setting up for a breakout. And Corey Perry's in front, waving his stick, trying to get a stick in front of it. Neil skates by, oh so casually, just kicks it out.
Knocks it out.
Just very, and then curls and waits for the pass from Josi.
I know Pekka was good, but to me last night, James Neal was the star of the game for the Predators. He was so good. And when they skate like that, I mean, I thought Anaheim was going to win last night. I really did.
I think everyone did going into the game. And I think, you know, that just goes to show you that the belief in Nashville's dressing room right now, they think they can do this. And a guy like Pekka Rene doesn't have the pedigree of playoff success right now, but he worries. If I'm Anaheim, I'm worried that that guy's going to steal a game in Anaheim in game 7.
They already did. They stole two already.
And there's a strong possibility it's going to happen again. The guy that I like too, and I think is going to be a big part for Nashville in Anaheim, is going to be Craig Smith. He comes back from injury. I mean, how big of a influence is he going to be in Game 7? He only played 14 minutes last night, but still, a guy that you get back in the lineup and doesn't look like he missed much of a beat. I think there's another role guy that can maybe play a big part in Game 7 in Anaheim.
We talk a lot about their top six, even up top nine construction of that squad, too. And that's the one thing where this is a different Nashville team. They've always had the goaltender, going right back to the inception of this. You can go back to Mike Dunham. Like, Nashville's always had the goalie.
Yeah.
Right? They've always had the goalie. The defense, that's been a story that's well told. That's been drafted and developed. Everything up front has been through trade or free agent acquisition.
We have to mention Thomas Fokun.
We have to mention him.
Because I don't want an email.
And who might that come from? Which agent might that come from?
I can't say.
Oh, okay.
I can't say.
All right, very good. But yeah, this is the one thing that we've seen now, and we see it with the battery with Ryan Johansson and James Neal.
Oh, yeah.
It's a team that could score now. Oh, yeah. Forsberg is snapping him in. This isn't your daddy's Preds.
Well, what were they doing last night, too? I think one of their game plan was getting traffic in front. I mean, you saw that more last night.
On the Ekholm goal specifically.
Oh, yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, Anderson's come in. He's done a great job since taking over from Gibson. They're like, we got to figure out a way to rattle this guy. They got traffic in front, and they were creating scoring chances that way last night. They're going to have to continue to do that in game 7.
Give those fans credit. I'm not sure they sat down.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
I'm not sure they sat down last night.
And Eric Young cranking up the crowd. Yeah, it was awesome.
It was like going to a Tennessee Volunteers football game. Nobody sits down. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It is one of the great, and I've never been there. I've only watched. I'm dying to go to Nashville to see a game. Oh, it is one of the great places to have the fan experience.
Of the new buildings, of the relatively new buildings now, it reminds me of the Boston Garden. Because it's steep, people are right on top.
Oh, is it like Sumo Palace style? Where you look at
spring down? In my mind, it is.
Really?
People are right on top of you, and
They know how to put a show on, too.
Well, and being one of the entertainment capitals of the world, they do an amazing job.
Yeah.
Really do.
They do a great job. Where do you pass me, Maddie?
Oh.
Hang on.
Schedule? Is this schedule?
When news breaks? Oh, some Stephen Stamkos information.
Whoa.
Perfect.
Here we go. From tweets involving Nick Kostanica. Okay, good. Stamkos on the ice in a red sweater. Said nothing has changed from original timeline. Quote, it's really just about a waiting game now. I feel great. He's still on blood thinners. Stamkos said, based on how he's feeling, his blood is flowing well. Trying to come back, but has to temper expectations. $1 million question is, how long must he be on blood thinners? He doesn't know. Stamkos, quote, I'm gearing up. You have to give yourself a chance. So wearing the red sweater, he's on the ice skating with the full team. They open up on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Against the New York
Islanders. First time,
I think,
in 23 years there's been an overlap in the NHL.
Is it
83
or
93?
I
think it's awesome.
83. Okay,
I'm with you.
33.
Get right to hockey every single day. I don't want any days off right now. So
now, with that, okay, let me ask you this then. Is that advantage Tampa because the Islanders are only a couple of days removed from beating the Florida Panthers? Or do you want to just in groove, keep the groove?
Well, it's funny. I was going to ask John Cooper, because he gave the guys the day off yesterday. And he says, we'll get back at it because we're thinking Thursday. Well, has his timeline changed as far as preparation for his team? Now, the advantage they have, they're at home.
You know, right.
I think you want to get going.
You do, especially when you've won a big series. You don't want to, you know, all of a sudden you can lose that momentum. So they want to get back at it. And I'm sure, with the exception of maybe a couple guys that may be banged up, but everyone's banged up at this time of the year, a couple extra days may help them. But all in all, throw a bag of ice on it, get out there, and you want to keep the ball rolling.
By the way, just to go back to the St. Louis-Dallas series.
Sure.
I think it's a huge advantage for the Blues in order to refocus, start on the road.
Ken Hitchcock put them in a hotel for Game 7. Correct me if I'm wrong. To replicate the road experience. Yeah,
well, I think just to stay focused. I mean, get rid of, you know, friends and family. You know.
Oh yeah, that can guys, hit you up
guys,
big time.
Guys,
I get some tickets.
That's the worst thing ever.
But I think in order, because I mean, the fans in St. Louis, I know that they can see the cup from, you know, where they're sitting, but it's still a long road, and to be able to not bask in the glory of beating the Blackhawks for too long. To get them on the road, I think, is really important.
And the pressure's off, too. You got to
win. The pressure's not off. That's the point,
but you're looking to win one of two. Like, that's the thing. You start at home, you've got to win those first two games, because if you don't, you've lost home ice advantage. You go on the road, win one, you come back, you're feeling good about yourself. You're like, all right, we've taken care of the road advantage, the home ice advantage. It is now ours. So I've always been an advocate of loving to be able to start in the road and try to sneak one out against the home team.
We talked about this on primetime last week, John. Is it more of an advantage? Was it you and me that talked about this? Was it more of an advantage to open up on the road? I remember talking to Bruce Boudreau about this once, and he said, you know what, it actually is. You know, if I had my druthers, I'd actually more like to open up on the road than at home.
And right now, road teams have won more games in this playoff than home teams have. The percentage is going down. But if you're Anaheim, would you rather play Game 7 at home? If you were St. Louis, would you rather play Game 7 at United Center? I don't think so. And that's why...
Win a couple games on the road, you don't have to get to Game 7.
That's true. But
you are right. That St. Louis, that was a huge advantage for them last
night. I think
it was. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So we have the Tampa Bay Lightning facing off against the Islanders. That gets started tomorrow. So that is unique. Yeah. We have a Game 7 as well. We have the Nashville Predators and the Anaheim Ducks. Anybody have a soap and warm water feeling about this one? Either way, in a Game 7, in a lot of ways, it's jump ball because... You know, rubber puck, cold ice, and it's NHL teams. Anyone have a feeling either way on these two?
I can't see Anaheim losing at home. I really can't. I don't know.
I mean, the record for Bruce Boudreau, record hasn't been great in Game 7s. I'm a little bit nervous. I think that this Nashville team has got a lot of momentum going in to Anaheim. I think they figured out a game plan last night. I think they're going to stick with it. I mean, I think it's going to be another one-goal game. I think whoever... gets the better goaltending tomorrow is going to end up coming out on top. That's pretty cliche to say, but I think it's going to come down to goaltending.
I wouldn't mind seeing Corey Perry score a goal.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Well, I almost had one yesterday in the third period. Pekka Rinne stopped him cold blank right in there. Hash marks in.
But Pekka Rinne show. But Ryan Kessler, again, seems to love playing against the Nashville Predators, no matter what team he's playing for.
Puck just fell there for him. It's like John Tavares.
But that's okay.
That's all right. He went to the net. Hey, it's Ryan Kessler. He goes to the net.
You know the one thing? You've got a guy like Shea Weber on your back end. That's an all-world defenseman in a Game 7. That scares me a ton if I'm Nashville. I just think the guy, or if I'm animated. That guy just does everything right. I can see him being a big piece tomorrow. And also, Philip Forsberg, I've just turned into a huge fan of his. I think that's a guy could be a game breaker. So, you know what? Flip a coin, like you said, tomorrow. But game set, it's going to be must-watch TV, I'll tell you that.
That whole back end for Nashville would frighten me.
We've talked about
how good Roman Josi is and how he should be in the Norris conversation the last couple of years. And Ryan Ellis, the most underrated defenseman on that squad. And Matthias Ekholm snapping him in.
Ellis's role, even on the first goal last night. And yet, you look at the Anaheim defense and how deep they are. You know, with Vatten and Hampus Lindholm and even Shea Theodore playing big minutes in the third period again last night. Cam Fowler was almost 30
Great
minutes.
Skater.
Oh, there. That's the defense in the end might be a pick 'em.
And does it come down to maybe, I don't know how many minutes they're going to play tomorrow, but the fourth lines of each team, that always seems to be a big intangible every single game coming in Game 7s. Where do you get your secondary scoring? I mean, it could come down to either with the fourth lines, maybe chipping in a goal.
How much fourth line do you expect to see between these two?
That's what I was right. You never know.
I can see Anaheim quite comfortable.
Yeah.
Because we've seen games where Anaheim's fourth line has been the best line.
Well, Nate Thompson to me is one of those gutty guys.
Yeah.
Totally. And we've seen that Anaheim fourth line. But, you know, outside of, you know, Anaheim, the New York Islanders are quite comfortable rolling and not in a big game, just reducing it to three lines. How much do we expect to see of fourth line guys in games?
I think it's going to depend on what type of games the game strategy is going to be out there, too. Is it going to be a physical game? I think that you're going to see some guys. I think the first two periods, you're going to see them rolling the lines. And as the game gets closer, it depends on how much confidence the coach has in those guys putting them in defensive situations. That's what it's going to come down to. But fourth line players, I mean, I was one of them, so I like to give them
props.
Actually,
you were on the fifth line.
I was on the bench. I was scratches a lot of time. But I think they play a huge part in this, and I think they'll play a huge part in Game 7 tomorrow.
Cody Bass only played a minute 16 last night.
Well, he almost put Sammy Vatanen in the season ticket holder's lap.
I know, but I'm just saying, so, you know, Peter Laviolette was down to 11 forwards anyway, but he was able to balance the balance his forwards pretty well. So you have to wonder whether Bass even makes the trip to Anaheim, or
that was going
to
be the hit of the series. We might be talking about a suspension right now if Vatanen doesn't pull up.
Yeah, yeah. So, so from that perspective, I think both guys like to play all 12 of their forwards or 11 if they have to. They're both guys. It's an interesting coaching matchup too when you think of Peter's style versus Bruce's.
You know, it's funny too because Peter Laviolette in Nashville, you know, from 1 year to the next, has sort of changed the way that Nashville's played. Like when he took over the Preds, it was a little more wide open. That's where Pekka-Rinne was getting 30, 35 shots a night and getting in that groove, and the save percentage was high.
That was getting out over the hangover, though. That was getting over the hangover.
What's that?
That was getting over the Barry hangover. You know what I mean?
Barry Trotz hangover. Yeah, all right, boys, open it up.
Yeah.
Play some hockey.
I really believe that. And that's not a knock. That's just, you know, release the hounds. You know,
sure.
I mean,
it makes sense. No, it totally makes sense. And then this year it became a little more buttoned down hockey.
Well, again, Laviolette and how he took another year to manage what his team was, just like Barry Trotz has adapted to the Caps in his second year too. And and Trotz, again, I'm sorry to change teams, but Trotz has adapted to me as much as the players have adapted to Trotz.
There is one person at this table who was coached by Barry Trotz, and John, it's not you and me.
I had him for 2 years.
Skip Jacks, right?
Great guy, yeah. That was right when he broke in. He was Robbie Laird was the head coach. And he came, I believe, right from Brandon and joined us. And awesome guy. I mean, one of the best guys, and he's learned so much. I mean, obviously, that's 20-something years ago, and he's developed into an elite NHL coach. He was good when he was with us. But the one thing I always say about Barry Trotz is he was a people person. Guys loved him all the time, and you loved playing for a guy like Barry Trotz. Yeah.
And they clearly do in Washington. They'll face off against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's
going to be money.
One. That's going to be fantastic. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we should probably hit on some comments by Detroit General Manager Ken Holland on Pavel Datsyuk and the construction of next year's edition of the Detroit Red Wings. Also, a little preview of Washington-Pittsburgh. That's on the horizon, the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is Todd Hlischko, John Shannon, yours truly, Jeff Merrick. This is Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, the Fan Simulcast on Sportsnet stateside on the NHL Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, we got this segment all planned. Producer Matt Brown's got this one all figured out.
There's nothing like a well-run radio show.
And this?
Is nothing like a well-run radio show.
Of all the shows I've ever done, John?
This is one of them.
John Shannon, Todd Hlischko, yours truly, Jeff Merrick. Let's get to some Detroit stuff
Todd,
here.
If you hang around, you can pick up some of these good lines.
You guys are unbelievable. I'm learning as I go.
Well, we've said these to each other now for 10, 15, 20 years. Just boring each other at this point. We just have someone new to act as
course,
a sounding board now.
It's like a joke.
Yeah, the Detroit Red Wings clearing it out. And Ken Holland at the year-end news conference yesterday making some headlines, I suppose, saying he doesn't expect Pavel Datsyuk to be back. I don't think anybody does, specifically if you look at Handshake Alley between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Detroit Red Wings. Also, the team needs to change a little bit. Ken Holland saying for the first time he will be a little more frisky when it comes to trades. Doesn't think much is going to be out there by way of the free agent market. But again, everything comes back to with the Detroit Red Wings right now until he makes it official, Pavel Datsyuk. Let's hear some audio from the Magic Man himself.
Do you see the future with this team, at least on the ice, and say and know what your contract would do to this team next year if you were to leave? Do you feel pressure knowing that?
Feel pressure, you mean?
Yeah.
No, of course I feel pressure. I have a mistake with this one, but it's a decision not made 100% yet, and I can answer exactly what your correct your questions now. They already asked me before if I make a decision. I say it's not enough time now, and I don't want to rush. It's a really tough decision for me, and I need more time. And I say when I go to back on a home play world champion, and thinking about more this one, and probably after world champion early in June, I meet again with Ken Holland and make it final decision probably.
By the way, about pressure, Alexander McGillney playing with the Toronto Maple Leafs was asked before a playoff game in the morning skate, do you feel any pressure before the game tonight? And he said, pressure? Why would I feel pressure? The only pressure I feel is after I have a cup of coffee in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Alexander McGillney. Where are we all at on Pavel Datsyuk, gentlemen?
Go ahead, Toddy.
Well, no, I think that, you know, just speaking with John off air a little bit, he said he made a good point. He goes, I think that the comments that he's making right now is he just wants to escape town and not give them everything. And just
off.
No, I agree. And he just wants to go. But I think that, you know, for Pavel Datsyuk, he's done so much for this organization. I think it's just let him do whatever he wants to do. Let him make the decision when time is. I mean, I know there's financial implications. They've got to figure it out rather quickly. But I think let him decide what's going on and let him announce it as he wants to announce it. And I think, as John's probably going to say, he just wants to get to the World Championships and announce it there and be done with everybody.
John?
I agree with Todd.
Very good. Let the record show.
I mean, Datsyuk, to me, I think any criticism of Pavel Datsyuk about, you know, waylaying the last year of his contract, totally unfair.
Because the family situation wants to be with his daughter.
And the contributions he's made. I mean, I'm normally I'm probably more on ownership and management side of most situations. But I believe in the player. I believe that he's wholeheartedly committed to the Detroit Red Wings. But family's first. And it's not as if he grew up in Dearborn. It's not as if he grew up in Medicine Hat. And
then
could
why
go
do
home.
A long? Okay, to play devil's advocate, then why sign that contract? Why not say, listen, well, Pavel Datsyuk? Why not say to Ken,
When was that contract signed? Two years ago.
Let's just do evergreen deals.
Because the agent wouldn't get paid.
What would it hurt?
I think
to do 1 year deals,
Jeffy,
like Lidstrom did in the end of his career.
In our world, in their world, I think things change every 7 or 8 months, and I think that...
And it's dangerous when you're 35 plus to have things
change.
Sure
you are. Absolutely. I have too much admiration for the organization and too much admiration for the player to think that this is really something that is in any way heinous. It's not. It's a guy at the end of his career saying, listen, I probably owe 1 year to the Russian Hockey Federation and to the people of Russia to play at home. And you know what? Now, might he change his mind? Well, you know what? It was, what was it? Dumb and Dumber? There's still a chance.
He's saying there's a chance.
They're saying there's a chance. But I do think he did a good job of standing up there. He did do a good job of admitting there's pressure. But also, if he had said, I'm leaving, it would have been a frontal attack on him at some way. This way he defers it, goes to St. Petersburg, and then, you know, the only next time we're going to see him is during the World Cup in September.
And he knows the ramifications of this. He feels bad about the whole situation, obviously. But again, this guy has given so much to this Detroit Red Wing organization that I don't think anyone's going to frown on anything or any decision.
Well, lots of people are, though. Lots of people are critical of him, and simply because of the contract in the cap era and the penalties that it's going to create for the Red Wings. I think that's just a fact of life right now.
And now is it a Detroit Red Wings? See, you put yourself in Ken Holland's situation here, and you're right. Family trumps everything, period.
Sure.
And in that way, you are Teflon. If you're Pavel Datsyuk and you need to go home and renege on the final year of your contract,
It's not doing a Kovalchuk deal. I mean, he's 38 years old.
If the Red Wings could find a way, and I'm sure they're combing through every piece of paper to find a way to get that money
off.
Say, hey, you did it with Kovalchuk.
And you know what? Based on that, I think Kenny's got got a leg to stand on. The question will become in that situation, has there a precedent been set for this to occur for one more year?
Mm-hmm.
And you know darn well.
It would alleviate a lot of pressures for Ken Holland, because right now he's looking, if he wants to get out from under the weight of this cap hit, which is all that it is, they will probably have to send a prospect or a high pick.
Otherwise, along with Datsyuk's contract.
To
somewhere else.
Just to get it away from this franchise. So
Ottawa? Well, I'm just thinking a team that is always well under the cap, that wouldn't have to pay Datsyuk, who they would probably be happy to...
And take,
Columbus,
and take a prospect.
Columbus ready to do it again?
Take a prospect in return.
No.
They'll be up because they...
No,
think
I know,
Columbus
I know.
Is because Columbus spends. Like, Columbus wouldn't be able to take it.
No.
Right? We always look at, you know, the Arizonas of the world. But Ottawa's not a bad idea, too, because that's not a cap team.
No. I mean, you look at those bottom...
Colorado Avalanche is not a cap team.
This crushes them trying to make a bid for Stamkos, then, does it not?
They have to get rid of the contract.
Exactly. And if they can't...
Well, they have, by the end of the summer, you know, you can always be over the... It can be 10% over.
Yeah, you can be 10 over.
So, there's... I think Steven Stamkos in Detroit makes a ton of sense.
Toronto, Buffalo, Detroit, that whole area.
Ton of sense.
Yeah. I think it makes a ton of... how different do we expect the Red Wings to look next season? And Ken Holland saying, there's not a lot by way of the free agent market this year. We're going to be friskier when it comes to trades. Ken has always sort of come shy of going that route, but it seems as if now more so than ever he's committed to do so. There are some young players that perhaps are ready to take the next step. Dylan Larkin certainly is.
Anthony Mantha better be.
Ooh.
He better be.
Because he could be a bonus for them. He's a goal-a-game guy in junior hockey with Valdor. Rough year two seasons ago with Grand Rapids. Better this year, though.
An amazing talk with Ken about Mantha, because you and I saw him play in junior a lot.
So dangerous.
And he said he came as an 18-year-old and played it as an 18-year-old. In his second year, he came as a 19-year-old and still played as an 18-year-old. It's the gradual maturation that has occurred now, and he fully believes that Mantha's now probably playing at or above his own age, which is a positive, but it's taken a little longer, I think, than the organization has wanted it to happen.
Jimmy Howard still with this team next year?
I don't think so. I think he's going to be, and he's made it well aware that he'd be open for a trade as well. I think that, you know, you have to make a decision one way or the other. You can't flip-flop with Mrazek and Howard. I mean, there's money there. I think there's enough teams out there that would maybe give Howard a shot. I mean, maybe a team like Calgary decides that they'll step up and take a Jimmy Howard contract. I don't know. But I think it's Peter Mrazek's team moving forward.
Well, and the interesting part about that is, what does Detroit need more than anything?
Defense.
And what does Calgary have a boatload of?
Yeah, exactly. Tons of defense.
Tons
of
it. So maybe a nice matchup.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the Detroit Red Wings page. Crosby and Ovechkin, their rivalry is renewed as the Pittsburgh Penguins face off against the Washington Capitals. We have not seen this since 2009, and we did see a Game 7, and the Pittsburgh Penguins went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. How is it different now that we're not seeing two players in their early 20s, but we're seeing players in their late 20s, early 30s almost?
I think you're going to see...
Or is it even about these two?
Well, no,
I know that's how it's positioned. Yes, that's a brand awareness and the brand marketing, but
I love the fact that this matchup is going to happen again. And the reason why I say this is Alexander Ovechkin has heard so many times when he came into Pittsburgh, when Canada was playing Russia, where was the chant where they're saying Crosby's better? Do you remember that?
Winnipeg.
Washington would go.
Oh, so yeah. That was after the 2010 Olympics.
Every time that he hears that, he knows, like, there's such a comparison. So what is Ovechkin? I think this is going to really elevate Ovechkin's game. There's another chance for him to say, you know what? I'm as good or better than Sidney Crosby. I am going to prove it. I think this is a rallying point to see some of Ovechkin's best hockey, if he can even do it any better than he has been, because he has been phenomenal. But I really think that he wants to prove everybody wrong and say, listen, this is my time now.
Wow.
And I am going to step it up. And I really believe mm-hmm. that he's going to take this series personal.
Well, here's the thing. The one thing that I would tell you that's different about Alex Ovechkin this year, second year of Barry Trotz's regime, is that this was the best time he was ever a team player. He was more of a team player, understood his role, came off the ice when he needed to. I know he was the only 50-goal scorer in the National Hockey League, but the Washington Capitals as a whole won the President's Trophy. It wasn't Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, I know.
If there was one time in his career for him to say, you know what, I'm one of 20, which he is saying, I'm one of 20, the depth players on our team are as valuable as I am, this is it.
This
to
is
stay
the first
focused.
Time he's had that, yeah. though. Again, in his defense.
I know. I agree. So my point is, for Alex Ovechkin, don't change the plan now, baby. Don't change the plan now. Stay the course.
Oh, he's going to be a team guy. Point. He's going to be a team guy, but he's going to elevate his game.
How much higher can
I know.
You elevate?
That's why it's going to be
50
scary.
Goals
fun
in 2016. It will be fun
this
to watch.
This is going to be Marcus Johansson, Phil Kessel, Nick Bonino, Trevor Daley, John Carlson. That's what this series is going
to
be all
right.
about.
That's the big one for me. John Carlson.
That series, you're right.
On that Washington blue line. All right, big show, fun show. Thanks for being part of it. Back tomorrow, Hockey Central at noon.